Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents I Know Your Secret by Daphne Benedis Grab, narrated by Sarah Wellborn. Chapter 1. Sunday, 5:30 p.m. Owen. It was random that Owen even checked his email before dinner that Sunday. Usually, he went straight from pickup basketball with the guys to the backyard. His stepdad, Big Rob, was still insisting it was warm enough for Sunday night barbecues, which was fine with Owen. Give him a pile of ribs soaked in Big Rob's secret Lexington sauce, and he would be happy eating outside in January. But Mom said barbecue season in upstate New York ended with the first frost, which had been that morning. So when Owen got home, Big Rob was standing next to the cold grill, saying it was more a light dusting of rain, not an actual frost, while Mom countered that rain did not leave a white icy residue. Owen figured it would be a while before the family ate anything, so he went into Mom's office to use the computer. His older sister, Jade, who was technically his stepsister, normally hogged it, but Jade was on a college tour with her mom and away for the week. So the computer was free for Owen and the project he had started during the COVID-19 shutdown. It wasn't something he had told anyone. Right now, it was just his. But Owen was creating a graphic novel. None of his friends were into comics, drawing, or writing, and while Big Rob was enthused about most of Owen's interests, Mom and Dad were more invested in Owen's grades, which were somewhat less than great. They didn't nag him much, but Owen knew they might butt in if they realized that half the time they thought Owen was doing homework, he was actually working on his story. Owen had reached a point in the book where he needed to know a little more about the armor worn by samurai for when his character went back in time. He did a quick search, found some great images, and then, while they were printing, logged into his account. And that was how he ended up being the first of the four to see the email. 6:15 p.m. Gemma. "Can I please be excused?" Gemma asked, doing her best to appear casual. This was hard because she was pretty much crawling out of her skin, but it was essential that Mom not see how desperate Gemma was to get on her phone after Mom's new screen-free Sundays. Mom was still scarred by all the screen time Gemma, Kate, and Avi had had during the COVID-19 shutdown. Although it'd been necessary for school and to socialize online, now that things were open again and people could go out, Gemma's mom was determined to keep them off screens as much as possible. "Isn't it your night to load the dishwasher?" Gemma's evil younger sister, Kate, asked. "No, it's Avi's," Gemma said between gritted teeth. Her older brother, who was as sweet as Kate was evil, nodded cheerfully. "Okay, then," Mom said, sounding reluctant. "I did all my homework," Gemma said, smiling like she wasn't aching to snatch her phone out of the charging cabinet and fly up to her room.
"Great, off you go,"
Dad said, waving Gemma toward the living room. It took everything in her, but she managed to walk calmly to the cabinet, take out the phone without checking it, Mom was watching, and meander to the stairs. She didn't start running until she was halfway up and Kate had started moaning about how she hated her math teacher. And after all that, he hadn't even texted. Gemma threw herself down on her pink comforter-covered bed. So immature, but Mom wouldn't get her a new one until high school, which was years away, and scrolled through her notifications, then went to her inbox. She noticed the email right away, and not because the subject line was all caps. Gemma noticed it right away because of what it said. "I know your secret."
7:17 p.m. Todd. Todd wanted to punch the computer screen. He could imagine how it would feel to put his fist through the screen, blasting that email apart. But obviously he didn't. Mom was so proud of the old desktop her boss had given her that it sat in a place of honor on the kitchen table where they ate. Todd knew Mom's boss just wanted to get rid of the computer without hassle since it was ancient, but the important thing was that Mom didn't know that. And it did still work, even though it took up half the small table in their very small trailer.
"I forgot my milk,"
Mom said, coming out of her bedroom. She was getting ready to watch her Sunday shows. Todd quickly closed the email before she could see what was on the screen.
"You know how it helps me relax."
She was wearing what she called her cozy robe, her feet in the bunny slippers Todd had gotten her for her birthday. Mom loved bunnies and wore the slippers every night. "Want me to get it for you?" Todd asked. He started to stand up and found he felt shaky, almost dizzy, from what he just read.
"No, you keep doing your work on the computer,"
Mom said, grabbing a teacup and saucer for her milk. It was the little touches, as she called them, that made Mom happy. That and anything involving bunnies, Todd, or chocolate. As soon as Mom was safely back in her room, Todd clicked back to the email. As he read it a second time, his fists clenched up. But punching wasn't going to help him get out of this. "I know your secret. Do what I say when I say it, and I won't tell a soul. Skip even one step, and I will tell everyone. Text me at this number as soon as you read this email, and then get ready for tomorrow. It's going to be a very big day."
8:12 p.m. Allie's hands were shaking, her breath coming in short, sharp bursts as she shoved things around on her desk, trying to find her phone so she could send the text. Thank goodness she had checked her email tonight. It had been a long day helping Grandpa and Graham. Sundays were always long days. Not that Allie minded. Nothing mattered more to her than the animals at the sanctuary she helped her grandparents run. And nothing made her or her grandparents happier. But still, the work was tiring. Often after evening animal feeding and cuddles, Allie took a long hot shower, fell into bed with a book, and passed out by 9. And what if she had done that tonight and missed this email? It was too awful to even contemplate. She finally found her phone, wedged into a far corner of the desk under a pile of cat care magazines. It took 2 tries to open up a new message and type in the phone number from the email. Then she hesitated. What was the proper response when someone was blackmailing you? She settled on, "It's Allie," and pressed send. Then she waited, cold sweat slithering down her sides, staring at her phone. Allie had no idea who could be threatening her like this. How had they found out her secret? It was most certainly the one thing Allie never, ever wanted anyone to know. Because if anyone found out what she had done, her stomach tumbled ominously as a bubble appeared on the screen, 3 dots flashing. Allie closed her eyes and said a quick prayer. This person, whoever they were, had the power to ruin everything Allie had ever truly loved.
Chapter 2, Monday, 12:50 p.m. Recording Part 1. Owen. "Hi, it's Owen. Wait, is this thing even on?" "Okay, relax, I've got it. So, yeah, hello, future us. This is Owen, and I'm starting this off. What is this, you might ask? And who are we?"
Allie. "No one is asking that. We know who we are."
Owen. "Okay, right. Well, we're making this recording to understand why we're doing all this stuff and who is blackmailing us and making us do it. We figure if we go over everything, record it, and then listen to it, maybe we can see something we didn't notice the first time around. That's what our English teacher said happens if you talk something through, step by step. We need to find the clues we missed."
"Hold up. No one told me Todd had chips. Can I get some of those?"
Gemma. "I'm taking over because we need to run through everything that happened today, not get distracted by chips.
So first, we all got emails last night telling us to text the blackmailer and await further instructions, which we all did. And the reply from Anonymous said, tomorrow morning, go to homeroom for attendance. Next, go to your assigned explorers group and tell the teacher you were switched. Then go inside the janitor's closet by the gym and wait for my instructions. Allie, that really sucked because I love Explorers Day and I was in pickle making. Owen,
gross.
Gemma, what's gross is you talking with your mouth full. Allie, what's wrong with pickles? Everyone likes pickles.
Todd, Allie's right. Pickles are awesome. Anyway, we should also mention that the email was made to look like we sent it to ourselves.
Gemma, I asked my older brother and he says that's a pretty simple hack. Allie, so a computer person could figure out the real sender?
Owen, yeah, probably. Remember that whole workshop we had in the library about how everyone has a digital footprint and anything you post can be traced back to you eventually? Which means an expert could figure out the anonymous person we're texting to.
Gemma, are any of you experts? I'm definitely not. Silence. Gemma, since none of us are at that level, we'd have to ask someone to help us, and I'm not sure we want anyone seeing these texts. Silence.
Todd, okay, we don't know who's behind this, and we're not going to be able to figure it out from the email address and texts. So let's move on to what happened next.
Monday, 5 a.m., Allie. Allie had barely slept after getting the response to her text. Questions gnawed at her. Who was sending these texts? What was she going to be asked to do? Why had she been selected for this? And most of all, how had this person found out Allie's secret, the one thing she was desperate to hide? She'd barely closed her eyes when the alarm woke her up at 5. Groaning, she pushed off the cozy quilt her aunt Ainur had made for her and given her parents the day they adopted Allie from Kazakhstan. It had kept Allie warm on some very awful nights. 3 years ago, Mom and Dad died in a car crash, and Allie and the quilt had moved from their apartment in Philadelphia to the small town in upstate New York where Gram and Grandpa ran their animal sanctuary. Adjusting to life in Snow Valley had been tough, but Lane Animal Sanctuary felt like home the first time Allie walked in to the cat corral. The huge room that led to an expansive outdoor area for the rescued cats was a little bit of paradise, despite the hissing and yowling fights its residents got into from time to time. Allie threw on jeans, a clean t-shirt, and a kind of clean sweatshirt, then headed downstairs. Grandpa, the family chef, was tending a pan of crackling sausages on the stove and making sure the toast didn't burn. Morning, love, he said to Allie. She grabbed a plate from the drainer and headed over to Grandpa for her serving of sausage and a morning hug and kiss. Her grandparents were affectionate with both people and animals, which was probably why they were so good at nurturing abused, terrified creatures and, more often than not, helping them become loving pets.
Cat corral, the bark house, or den of rabbits?
Grandpa asked as Allie ate. She didn't exactly have an appetite the way her stomach was frothing with anxiety about school, but people who worked with animals could not afford to go out with an empty belly. Food was energy, and so it was required. Dogs today, Allie said. The three of them split morning feeding, which was one quarter opening cans and pouring kibble, three quarters snuggling with animals. And today, Allie needed the kind of big snuggles and playing that came at the bark house. A chorus of joyful woofing along with a number of scampering pups greeted Allie when she entered the bark house. She knelt down to cuddle Chester, a black and brown mix, then scratched Kiki on her fat gray tummy. Waiting behind them were Fozzie, Crackers, and Flash. Allie took her time hugging, patting, and talking to all of them. Buttons came up next, her big brown eyes dancing. Allie gently rubbed her soft ears. The little dog had been painfully thin when she first arrived, her eyes darkened by hopelessness. She'd become a frisky, happy, loving dog in her time at Lane Sanctuary, and Allie reminded herself that nothing mattered more than that. Nothing. Allie called greetings to the dogs who were still learning to trust people, then headed to the food closet. After making sure every dog had breakfast, fresh water, and a lot more hugs, Allie headed for the school bus stop at the end of her driveway. She had to run the last section of the long, winding drive, but she made it just as the bus was about to pull away. Allie always sat alone on the bus to school. She didn't have friends in Snow Valley, which was such a small town that the middle and high schools shared the same building. Everyone had grown up together and formed friendships long before Allie showed up in fourth grade. Not like she would have had time for friends anyway. Allie spent every hour she wasn't required to be at school working with Grandpa and Gram at the sanctuary. The sanctuary was her life. It was her heart. It was the thing that mattered most. Which was why today, Allie had to do whatever this blackmailer told her to do. Because if she didn't, and her secret got out, Lane Animal Sanctuary would close for good.
Todd. No one talked to Todd as he walked up the path to the steps of Snow Valley Secondary School. Groups of friends hung out on the big lawn and congregated under trees. The high schoolers lounged on the prize seating, the wide staircase. None of them bothered with Todd, though, which was just how he liked it. Especially today, because right now, if anyone even looked at him funny, it was possible Todd would explode. Not on purpose exactly, but when there was this much lava burning and churning in his gut, he sometimes erupted, and that never went well. It was also probably the reason most people at school stayed out of his way. Todd had gotten a reputation for hitting people back in kindergarten, and by seventh grade, everyone knew to avoid him. Sure, he hadn't hit anyone in a long time, but that was because he hadn't had to. He'd only lost it once this year, when Owen and Cody came into Todd's locker alcove. Cody was making annoying jokes like he was trying to impress Owen, which seemed like a waste of time to Todd. Who cared what an idiot like Owen thought? But then Cody said, "Todd got the lowest score on the quiz again because he's the dumbest kid in the school." And what was Todd supposed to do? Ignore him? Act like he didn't care? Todd did care. His quiz score was low because he hadn't been able to study. Mom had been in one of her moods where she came home crying from work every day. Those were the times Todd needed to take care of things, make sure that the trailer was clean, that the bills were paid on time, that Mom got her milk in her cup with the saucer every night. So, no, he hadn't aced that math quiz, but he'd aced plenty of other quizzes, and he was not the dumbest kid in school. The dumbest kid in school was obviously Cody, because A, he'd said that in front of Todd, and B, he was surprised when Todd punched him. The whole thing had been a big mess with Principal Grace, but Todd managed to keep Mom from learning about his suspension. He'd long ago perfected her signature and was always home in time to erase upsetting voicemails, which was all that mattered. Todd tossed his coat into his locker and slammed it shut with a satisfying thunk, letting out some of his anger. He hated that some clown was threatening him, making him do stuff he didn't want to do. He had no idea what he'd be asked to do, but he knew he wouldn't want to do it. But what choice did he have? If his secret came out, he would be in major trouble. Mom would shatter like one of her delicate teacups. And what would happen then? Todd stomped into his homeroom and threw himself in his seat, sending a glare around the room. No one met his gaze. In fact, the snobby girl who sat in front of him, Gemma, moved her chair farther away from him. Before Todd could decide whether to say something nasty about this,
Mr. Patel walked in and cheerfully greeted his homeroom. Mr. Patel was cheerful every day. He was also kind and always went out of his way to ask Todd about Mom, who he'd met at the store. Todd wasn't someone who actually liked teachers, obviously, but Mr. Patel was okay.
I bet all of you are as excited about Explorer's Day as I am, Mr. Patel said, setting down his takeout cup from the Snow Valley Diner.
Of course he was extra cheerful today, though honestly, Todd did generally enjoy Explorer's Day. There were two a year, and students got to take immersion classes in fun things like board games and cake baking. Last time, Todd had been in ice cream where they learned about the history of ice cream and then got to make any flavor they could dream up. Todd had created an incredible mix of chocolate crunchies, pretzels, crushed peanut butter cups, and mini marshmallows in a mocha caramel ice cream blend. He and Mom had eaten it for dinner that night, and Mom had said it was the best ice cream she'd ever had. Today, Todd was supposed to be in Puzzle Mania, and that would have been really cool if he'd been able to go, which he couldn't. And now his anger flared up again. Morning announcements came on over the scratchy loudspeaker, a list of clubs Todd couldn't join because he had to get home right after school every day, a list of sports happening over the weekend that Todd would not go see, and then a long rant from Principal Grace about bullying. The school had started a big zero-tolerance campaign around bullying a few weeks ago, and Todd was sick of hearing about it. Next was an announcement for upcoming play tryouts that got Gemma so excited, he could see her bounce slightly in her seat. And finally, the principal signed off. Mr. Patel called roll and then clapped his hands together with delight. Okay, everyone, enjoy your explorations. Come check in if you're not sure what classroom to go to, and I'll see all of you at the wrap-up assembly this afternoon. Explorer groups spent the morning and early afternoon working on projects that were then displayed at the showcases set up in the gym. The best were food exhibits, because there were samples. Last year, Todd had managed to visit the candy-making table twice. But even things like quilting and songwriting could be cool. The final part of the day was an assembly with a big slideshow of pictures from the day, and a rep from each group coming up to share stories from their process. Todd wasn't going to admit it, but seeing a photo of himself in last year's ice cream group putting whipped cream on his creation had been nice. But obviously nothing nice would be happening this year. Todd hustled out of the classroom and joined the crowd of people in the hall. Everyone was excited, heading off for a fun day. Everyone but Todd. Someone came up too close behind Todd and stepped on his heel. Todd whirled around, furious, and saw that it was Kirby, looking completely panicked. "Sorry," he said, glancing side to side like he might need an escape plan. Then he ducked his head and scurried off. "No problem," Todd said as Kirby disappeared around the corner. Last year, Todd had overheard Kirby calling him a walking anger management problem. Todd had handled this by punching Kirby, which might have proven Kirby's point, but did shut him up. And clearly Kirby had not forgotten it, though his reaction just now seemed a little over the top. That incident had been a pretty long time ago.
"No pushing,"
Vivi said irritably. She was walking past Todd, and a group of boys were trying to get by her. Vivi was the class snitch, always ordering people around and telling on them when they didn't do as she said. She and Todd had had a number of run-ins, and now, as she held up her arm to stop the boys, Todd glared at her. "Move," he snapped. She glared back but did lower her arm out of Todd's way. Satisfied, Todd continued to room 106 where Puzzle Mania was being held and, per his instructions from the blackmailer, told Miss Nguyen, the teacher in charge, that he had been switched to bread baking. And now that he had his official reason for not being present, he made his way past the cafeteria and toward the janitor's closet. Step 3 from the blackmailer. Normally, something like that would never work, but no one was paying attention to Todd. The blackmailer had picked a good day for this.
Explorer's day was always hectic. The closet was right outside the cafeteria doors. Like half the hallway, it was papered with an anti-bullying poster. Todd glanced around casually. No one was looking. He opened the door, which had an alarmingly sticky handle, and stepped inside, then stopped, because something very unexpected had happened. Unexpected and unwelcome. Someone was in the closet. Owen. Owen nearly shrieked in surprise when the door to the closet opened. A shadowy figure stepped in, and Owen cringed, his mind racing as he tried to come up with a reason he could explain to the janitor why he was standing here next to the utility sink. Or was this the blackmailer coming to threaten Owen in person? But then the person spoke, and it was not the janitor. "Beat it," Todd said. Which was not what the blackmailer would say, so now Owen had a different problem on his hands. Todd was not someone to tangle with. Owen had seen him fight up close, but he couldn't just leave. Given the power the blackmailer had over Owen, the choice was clear. He was going to have to stand up to Todd. But before he could say anything, another person shoved the closet door open. Todd jumped in surprise as Gemma slid inside and closed the door behind her. "What are you guys doing in here?" she demanded, crossing her arms over her chest. Her face was pinched and her voice was sharp. Gemma was the only seventh grade starter on the girls' JV basketball team, and not someone to mess with.
"None of your business," Todd said, crossing his own arms over his chest.
"Well, get out. I have a call to make and I need privacy," Gemma said as Todd moved to stand next to the mop rack. The closet reeked of overly zesty pine cleaner that was starting to make Owen's eyes water.
"Find somewhere else to make it," Todd snapped. "I was here first."
"Actually, I was here first," Owen said.
"So," Gemma started, but then she stumbled forward. The closet door had opened again, hitting into her and letting in yet another person. This time, it was a short, quiet girl who was in Owen's gym class. He was pretty sure her name was Alice. Alice stepped in and looked around at the three of them.
"Oh, are you guys being blackmailed too?" she asked.
For a moment, Owen stiffened, and he saw Gemma press her lips together and Todd clench his fists, which was when Owen knew Alice was right. They were all here for the same reason.
"Yeah," he said, leaning back on the utility sink.
"I am." Gemma sighed.
"Me too."
They all looked at Todd, who shrugged, then nodded.
"Well then," Alice said, "I have instructions to text the blackmailer once I'm here."
"Me too," Owen said, and Todd and Gemma nodded.
"I don't know about you guys, but I'm doing everything I'm told. No questions asked,"
Alice added.
"Same. I suggest we don't ask each other any questions either,"
Gemma said, getting out her phone to text the blackmailer.
They pretty much all fell over each other agreeing to that. Once the text had been sent, they waited, phones in hand.
"What's taking so long?"
Todd muttered. Alice looked up.
"I think it's been, like, a minute."
She had a calm way of speaking that Owen found soothing. As much as anything could be soothing when you were stuck in a pine-saturated closet with three people you barely knew waiting to hear from a blackmailer.
"I wasn't asking you," Todd snapped. "Do you even go to school here?"
Alice slumped.
"Yeah, I'm in your math class. Last year, I was in your social studies and science classes. I'm Allie."
"Allie, whoops." Well, Owen had been close. Todd looked at his screen for a second and then said something that shocked Owen.
"Sorry, I recognize you now. I just want to know what this person is going to make us do, and I hate waiting."
Allie nodded.
"I get it.
Believe me. She leaned against the wall by the sink and tucked her hands into her pockets. The closet was large for a closet.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?